times. The Pennsylvania General Assembly finalized legislation last week that will impose a fee on natural gas drillers. Governor Corbett, who campaigned on a pledge of no new taxes, has said he will sign the bill. Proponents hailed the agreement, saying it would bring jobs and revenue to the state, which has been experiencing a gas boom in recent years. Critics argue the environmental protections in the legislation don't go far enough, and zoning provisions reduce local control over drilling. Well, today on Radio Times, we want to talk about what's in the bill and what it will mean for Pennsylvania. And we're calling out to Scott Detrow. He's Harrisburg reporter for State Impact Pennsylvania. And that's a collaboration between WITF, WHYY, and NPR, covering the fiscal and environmental impact of Pennsylvania's booming energy economy, with a special focus on Marcellus Shale drilling. A long introduction. And Scott Detrow, always a pleasure. Nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Hey, Marty. Happy to talk to you again.
And to our listeners, and we know that there are probably many questions and comments. Lines open right now at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. If you have a question about this legislation, do give us a call. Scott, how many years has this issue been debated and discussed in Harrisburg?
Well, we've been talking about an impact fee since Republicans took control of the Capitol in 2011. But you can rewind the clock back to 2009 for legislation that overhauls Pennsylvania's drilling laws and would have put a severance tax on drilling. That's basically the same idea, taking money from each natural gas drilling well. But in 2009 and 2010, the idea was to kind of spread that money across state government. And once Governor Corbett went into office, once the House flipped back to Republican control, there was no appetite for kind of any broad tax increases from leadership. So the issue kind of morphed into this idea of an impact fee, where most of the money stays at the counties and municipalities hosting drillers. So we've been talking about this in some form or another since I got to Harrisburg, and I feel a bit lost now that we're done with the issue. It's going to be tough. You know?
Well, I think there'll be more issues related to this particular issue. But just so to make sure our listeners understand, if you're talking about an impact fee versus a severance tax, it's not just a semantic difference.
That's right. The most important difference is that $6 of every $10 collected by this new fee will stay at the local level. It'll be split amongst the counties and the municipalities that actually host the wells. The rest of that 40% will go to various state agencies. All of them have, you know, something to do with drilling or another. So I'd say the biggest difference is that most of this money, and we're looking at something like $200 million a year, most of it will already be earmarked for drilling-related causes. This isn't something that could help fill a budget gap or go to education spending or anything like that.
And 60% of it staying in at the local level, whether it's counties or municipalities. And is that to offset, in a sense, the kind of costs of drilling?
That's exactly what it's for. So many of these drilling areas, especially in the north-central part of Pennsylvania, are really rural areas that have just been completely changed by drilling. You have all of this business coming in. You have all these trucks rumbling through the streets. You go to Tioga County, you go to Bradford County, there are literally traffic jams because of all of the pipes, all of the equipment, all of the water being moved around. So this is money that local governments will be able to kind of boost up, you know, their infrastructure repair. They'll be able to hire more police officers. One story that we did at State Impact Pennsylvania was just taking a look at the 911 calls were up, and that's just because there's more people packed into these communities, so more accidents happen, things like that. And these local governments will be able to use that money to kind of beef up their responses, because one of the problems you heard from local governments was that, yeah, this is generating more business in these communities. It's making more money, but none of that sales tax goes to the township. None of it goes to the county. So they didn't have the resources to kind of respond to this impact.
Is Governor Corbett going to have some explaining to do, maybe to Grover Norquist or others, when he campaigned on the pledge of no new taxes? Now, I realize we're talking about an impact fee.
Mm-hmm.
But does he have to do a little dance in order to sign this legislation?
He does. He's made it clear he is going to sign it. He hasn't done that yet. But Grover Norquist's group came out with a ruling on this, saying that it is a tax. And one of the main reasons for that, they said, look, this is something you're charging. The money is going to state government. The rate of the fee fluctuates based on gas prices. That was a big factor for them that makes it tax-worthy to them. And it'll be interesting to see if there's any consequences of that for Governor mm-hmm. Corbett. Grover Norquist had been a big fan of the Corbett administration. Of course, they cut about $1 billion in state spending last year. And at one point last fall, Grover Norquist tweeted that, you know, he was very proud of Governor Corbett and saw Governor Corbett as presidential material down the line. We'll see if there's any sort of fallout based on the fact that the governor's promised to sign this into law. And the Patriot News here in Harrisburg did an interesting article just kind of walking through how many state legislators who signed that no new taxes pledge did end up voting for this fee.
And does anyone know when the governor's going to sign this?
Unclear. I am assuming sometime this week. I haven't heard anything official yet. He has 10 days to sign it, and once he does that, that date's important because that starts a clock on when counties can enact this fee, which I'm sure we'll get into later
yes.
in the show.
Well, as you said, 60% of it staying locally and 40% going to various other projects. What are the kinds of projects that will be supported by the other part of this impact fee?
Mm-hmm. A lot of infrastructure projects, environmental conservation efforts. These environmental conservation districts that are across the state will get a lot of money out of this. Philadelphia is actually going to receive multi-million dollars each year, even though there's no drilling anywhere close to Philadelphia. There was some interesting politics going on as the bill was being passed. The Republicans really, really wanted bipartisan support on this. So Senate President Pro Tem Joe Scarnati, he's the top Republican in the Senate, and he's the architect of this bill, essentially. Played hardball with Senator Anthony Williams and Vincent Hughes from Philadelphia. He said, look, we need some Democratic support. You guys better vote for this bill, or we're going to rework the structure of which the fee is paid out, and Philadelphia is going to see less money. So those two lawmakers, even though they both opposed the fee, consulted with Mayor Nutter, and they ended up supporting it because they didn't want Philadelphia to lose the more than $1 million in roads and bridge money. There's also water, sewer infrastructure, a lot of things the city will see money from.
And how, as that as an example, but just how much backdoor politicking has been going on in Harrisburg in the last couple of weeks?
Oh, there's been a lot. At the end of last year, in December, the Senate and House had passed two different versions of this bill. A lot of areas was very similar, but they had a much different fee set up. The Senate wanted to have a state-imposed fee, and the House had this version where it was the county who decided whether or not they would set the fee and they would collect the money. And the compromise they ended up reaching was you have this hybrid where Pennsylvania, it's a statewide fee, it's collected statewide, it's distributed by the state, but over the next 60 days, every county that hosts gas wells will have the option of whether or not they want to enact this fee. They can say, yes, we want it within our borders, and no, we don't. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have that local control aspect, and that was important for the Corbett administration, and that was really important for those anti-tax Republicans out there because they felt like they could justify this, saying, look, it's up to the local government whether they want it or not. We're not saying this is a state-down mandate. But, it's up to the local option. So you have a lot of counties, most counties seeing wells, it's a no-brainer for them. This is millions of dollars. But one place to keep an eye on is Bradford County. They have more wells than any other county in Pennsylvania. We actually made a map on the State Impact Pennsylvania website, which you can get to through newsworks.org, and we plotted out how much money each county is set to receive. Bradford County, if they enact an impact fee, they're going to get a range of $48 million total generated. The county would keep about $10.5 million for their uses. But there are two Republican commissioners on their three-member board, and both of them say, we don't want this fee. We feel like it's a tax. We feel like it will hurt business.
Wow.
So there might not even be an impact fee in Bradford County. The local governments do have, we're getting in the weeds here, but
it's an interesting twist. Important weeds.
Important weeds. The local governments in each county basically have this veto override on whether or not the county gets a fee. So say Bradford's county commissioners say, you know what, we don't want this fee. Municipalities will have another 60-day window, and if more than half of the local governments in Bradford County pass a resolution saying, yeah, that's nice, but we do want that fee, it'll go into effect.
Well, picking up on that, and I'm sure we'll get into it in more detail with our third guest waiting in the wings, but some of the criticism of this legislation is that the zoning provisions will reduce local control over drilling. Can you explain that, Scott?
That's right. This is a very big factor, and this led to a lot of outrage on the Democratic side. This bill basically sets very strict limits on what local governments can and cannot zone and regulate when it comes to drilling. Now, the authors of the bill say all we're doing is kind of confirming what the original Oil and Gas Act passed in the mid-'80s did, which said that, you know, the state has top jurisdiction here and local governments can't set their own drilling regulation. But over the past 20-something years, lots of local governments have done that and courts have repeatedly sided with them, so that power does exist. This kind of pushes that back, and it sets very strict standards. You know, you can only have setbacks up to a certain point, you know, X hundred feet from streams, X hundred feet from buildings. The numbers are most in my head, so I can pull up some specific examples in a few minutes. But
okay.
But basically, it sets very strict guidelines, and the one that got the most attention was that that local governments will not be able to zone drilling out of residential areas. They can't say, you know what, we don't want any drilling in our residential areas. There is an exemption for very densely populated residential zones, but by and large, drilling has to be allowed in all types of zones going forward. And the supporters of that provision said that this was a way to stop local governments from basically barring drilling within their borders, passing moratoriums on drilling, which a local government does not have the legal right to do in Pennsylvania. A few have done it anyway, but everyone assumes it'll likely get thrown out in court. The Republican authors of this bill said, look, you need to allow drilling, and we're going to set these regulations. And the industry, the Marcellus Shale Coalition, I know Catherine Klaber is going to be on the show shortly, had pushed very hard for this, what they called consistency. They said it was very hard to do business if you're in Township A setting to one form of rules, you go to Township B 5 miles over, you have to have a whole different set of operations. So they said that was very tough for drillers. But opponents of this change say, look, local governments need to have control over what happens within their boundaries. You know, this is a basic affront on democracy in the eyes of many people who oppose this. So there are all sorts of compromises, and the basic setup here is that you now have the Public Utility Commission. That's this five-member panel that usually you hear about them when they're confirming gas prices, when they're, you know, setting new phone lines, things like that. They're going to kind of be the umpire of what is a fair regulation and what is not in Pennsylvania. So, you know, starting next year when this all goes into effect, you know, if you're drilling in a township and you feel like that township's laws on drilling are too harsh, you can appeal to the Public Utility Commission. They'll take a look at it, and if they say, you know what, this does go out of the bounds that this new law has set, that municipality will not get any impact fee money going forward. So there are big consequences here.
Well, let's take a very short break. Scott, we'll get back to our conversation with you. And Scott Detrow, Harrisburg reporter for State Impact Pennsylvania. Again, a collaboration between WITF, WHYY, and NPR. And he's been covering the fiscal and environmental impact of Pennsylvania's energy economy. And you can go to newsworks.org and check out State Impact Pennsylvania. And actually, we have Stephen Ford waiting in the wings from the Marcellus Shale Coalition. And we do want to make sure that we get some calls in at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Margaret Kuo. To celebrate the Cherry Blossom Festival with the Japan American Society, Dr. Hamada from Villanova and I will present a tutorial luncheon in my Wayne restaurant on Sunday, February 26th. Margaret Kuo's restaurants support WHYY.
Actress Viola Davis has been nominated for an Academy Award for her portrayal of a maid in the 1960s-era film The Help. She says she didn't see her character as a cliché.
I saw her going on a journey. I saw her having humor and heart and intelligence.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Davis. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
When did slavery end? Most people assume it ended with the Civil War, but a new documentary vividly describes how black Southerners were trapped in a brutal system of forced labor well past the Emancipation Proclamation.
People were worked to the very limits of human endurance.
The producers of Slavery by Another Name are with us next time on Tell Me More.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
The Discover Newsworks Facebook Sweepstakes. This week, 4 tickets to the Flower Show and a Reading Terminal gift card. You must like newsworks.org on Facebook to enter. No purchase necessary. For a complete list of rules, go to newsworks.org. Smart. Local. News.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe. Just a recap, the Pennsylvania General Assembly passed legislation last week that would impose an impact fee on the extraction of natural gas. Governor Tom Corbett has indicated that he will sign this bill. It's our topic for today's Radio Times. And Scott Detrow with us for the full hour. Stephen Ford joins us now, and he is Vice President for Policy and Communication for the Marcellus Shale Coalition. That's a gas industry group. And Steve Ford, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Marty, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Steve, where does the industry stand on this impact fee?
Well, I think that, you know, after, as Scott mentioned at the top of the show, after several years of discussion over impact fee and severance tax and municipal ordinances and so forth, having some sort of resolution is of great importance, I think, to really all the stakeholders involved in this discussion. And from an industry perspective, it's, well, not a perfect piece of legislation, certainly is one that provides certainty for those that are creating jobs and producing natural gas across Pennsylvania, and one that we believe is a balanced approach to move this industry and this Marcellus Shale development forward in the years to come.
And Scott, going back to you, Pennsylvania, I guess, was the lone state without a fee on natural gas extraction?
As Steve will point out and his drillers have pointed out, that, you know, the companies were still paying taxes, so it's not like there was no taxing going on at all. But if you talk about a specific tax on the gas coming out of the ground, Pennsylvania was the lone major energy-producing state without that levy in place.
Does that level the playing field, Steve?
Well, I think, again, I would call the legislation balanced for sure. I think there's a variety of tax policies in Pennsylvania that are not necessarily on a level playing field with other states. And industry, over the past 4 or 5 years, have paid well in excess of $1 billion in taxes to state and local governments. So certainly, as Scott indicated, the industry is most certainly paying its fair share when it does come to state and local taxes, but the impact fee, we believe, certainly is a balanced approach to ensure that this industry can remain viable here in Pennsylvania for years to come.
But just how profitable is the natural gas industry? I mean, prices have fallen pretty dramatically in the last couple of years.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and I think consumers in Philadelphia and across Pennsylvania certainly feel the impact of that with lower than typical home heating bills. Just an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer this morning about electricity bills that are falling as a result of Marcellus Shale development as well. And I think that there's great opportunity in a low price environment like this for consumers and for the transportation industry, for the petrochemical industry. But at the same time, as you indicate, we are at historical lows when it comes to natural gas prices, and it's a cyclical matter for sure. And there's no doubt that the companies that are doing business here in Pennsylvania are making their business decisions based upon those natural gas prices, and that's why this ongoing debate in Harrisburg was so critical, that we didn't upset that balance any further than it already has been upset by these historically low prices to ensure that this industry can remain viable.
And back to you, Scott. I mean, there have been some projections about how much revenue will be raised from this impact fee. Do these falling gas prices put those revenues into question?
Well, the way the fee is set up, each
year in January, the PUC is going to take the average gas price from the previous year and set that level. So you might see it go up $5,000 to $10,000 a well. You might see it go down $5,000 to $10,000 a well. Each year that companies pay a fee, it's on the previous year's drilling. So the 2011 prices are already set. That's going to be the payment that comes in September, and that's at the $50,000 a well level. So, you know, the prices steadily came down over the course of the last year, but they were still high enough to get to that bracket. The 2012 prices, we won't know how much these companies are paying per well until next January. But when you look at these lowering gas prices, there was an interesting trend the last few months when these big drilling companies had their quarterly conference reports to talk about, you know, earnings, things like that. And you saw a trend developing where a lot of these companies, after building up in Pennsylvania year after year, are starting to look elsewhere, specifically Ohio. You had, you know, Chesapeake was one of many companies that kind of is scaling back its Pennsylvania production. So you might see more competition from other states. New York State is also likely going to open up its doors to drilling in the coming year, so you might see more traffic there. Though it looks like New York would have stricter regulations than Pennsylvania does, and probably a higher tax or fee, just given the Democrats can control there and the political climate. But something that struck out to me at the Marcellus Shale Coalition's statement on this bill was they did say that this fee will increase costs and will be a factor in their decisions moving forward, and that means do you drill in Pennsylvania or do you drill in, you know, Ohio or West Virginia?
And do those states look more attractive, Steve Ford?
Well, I mean, I think on a company-by-company basis, certainly they're making those decisions on where to increase or decrease production on a temporary basis. And I think what's important to remember is this Marcellus Shale play across Pennsylvania, if you kind of think diagonally from the southwestern corner of the state up toward the northeastern corner of the state, there's really, well, it's all one large shale play. There's a distinction about halfway through it where the natural gas down in the southwestern part becomes more heavier in nature and contains a number of liquids which are have their own economic value, propane and butane and ethane, and that is particularly of interest to the petrochemical industry, and it opens up a number of economic opportunities in Pennsylvania that don't necessarily exist in many of these other shale plays. And I think that we're going to see considerable activity, particularly in that wet gas region down in the southwest, which will keep the industry afloat in many ways through these historical lows when it comes to traditional natural gas prices.
Steve, let me ask you about the chemicals in fracking fluid, and is the industry willing to reveal all those chemicals used to extract natural gas?
Yeah, the Marcellus Shale Coalition and our member companies are well ahead of the curve on this matter. Last fall, we adopted a resolution, our board of directors did, and we represent some 40-plus exploration and production companies here in Pennsylvania to post by the beginning of this year, and our companies have begun doing this on the fracfocus.org website, which is a national website, the additives that are included in hydraulic fracturing fluid here in Pennsylvania and other places where they're operating in Marcellus, and that's something that is par for the course for the coalition and for our members, and added transparency is nothing new to this industry and one that we embrace.
Scott, you want to add to that?
Yeah, this is a, Myron Arnowitz is going to come on later on the show, and he's going to go through the major problems that a lot of environmental groups have with the spill. But when it comes to fracking disclosure, this really overhauled Pennsylvania's current setup. Pennsylvania was one of a handful of sites that had regulations in place requiring companies to tell state regulators how much, you know, what chemicals were being used at each well. But unlike other states where this information was public, all the companies had to do was give a list to the Department of Environmental Protection, and then DEP, you know, kept that list basically private. A person could get it through a right-to-know request, but, you know, that's obviously a long process. This going forward puts Pennsylvania on par with Texas and Colorado, which passed recent, you know, strong regulations requiring disclosure. You know, going forward, companies will have to do what many of these Marcellus Shale Coalition members are already doing and put this information on fracfocus.org. And a year from now, the DEP is going to take a second look at this, and if they feel like, you know, Frac Focus, all the information they want is in place there, they'll keep using that site, and if they feel like that's lacking, they might set something up on the Department of Environmental Protection's website listing well-by-well chemicals.
And we are talking about natural gas drilling here in the state of Pennsylvania and the fact that the Pennsylvania General Assembly passed legislation last week imposing a fee on the extraction of natural gas. And as Scott has told us, and as we are reading, Governor Tom Corbett has indicated that he will sign this bill. Scott Detrow is WHYY's reporter covering the Pennsylvania's energy economy for State Impact Pennsylvania. And you can check out the website for State Impact Pennsylvania at newsworks.org. Steve Ford is Vice President for Policy and Communication for the Marcellus Shale Commission. And we do have Myron Arnwit, Pennsylvania State Director for Clean Water Action, waiting in the wings. We do want to take some calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Let me get Judy from Upper Darby to join us. Judy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm a registered nurse. And there's no way to filter the carcinogens out of the water and also in the air. Because when they go and they drill, it goes up in the air. And they're talking about this one getting money and that one getting money. I think if politics are clean enough, you can pay for the schools properly. And the tax on the people. You know, the when these carcinogens go into mothers, when they're already taking so many courses on this now, those children, the babies born already cancerous because of these carcinogens.
Well, Judy, let me take your concern and actually put it to Steve Ford and also to Scott Detrow. And there is concern, as you know, Steve Ford, about the potential health fallout from some of these extraction processes. What do you say to people like Judy?
Well, I think there's, and Scott certainly knows this better than anyone, plenty of media attention and regulatory attention on this industry here in Pennsylvania and across the United States to ensure that the processes that we use to extract natural gas, to transport natural gas, and deliver it to our homes is one that is highly regulated, highly sophisticated. One thing that I would note, though, is that there's any number of environmental groups and endowments across Pennsylvania and across the country that are funding initiatives around things such as transportation initiatives that utilize more natural gas. And there's a reason for that. Natural gas is a cleaner burning fuel. And when it comes to, talking about in air quality, natural gas is a winner when it comes to air quality. And there's a reason that this industry is such a focus for these environmental groups and why natural gas is such a focus. It's a cleaner burning fuel and one that has great health benefits in the long run for our country.
Well, Scott, let me go to you. I'm looking at an article about Dimmock, Pennsylvania, and this is a town in Pennsylvania where because of water contamination, water is being delivered to families there because they can't drink the water.
That's right. When you've seen problems involving drilling, more often than not, they have to do with what's called methane migration, and that's an issue. It's not the fracking part of the drilling process. I mean, we use the term hydraulic fracturing, we use the term fracking, and most people kind of take that to mean the whole process. You know, that is the technical part. That's the deep underground, fracturing of rock with high-pressured chemicals. The issues that have caused problems in Dimmock and in other places, it's what's happening toward the top of the surface, and that's, a company might not have the best casing when they put the well in, and methane gets loose, and that makes its way into people's private water wells. That's an issue the state addressed a couple of years ago now. They passed much tighter well casing standards toward the end of the Rendell administration. A lot of this information, it takes time to see down the road whether things have improved or not, but you've seen less high-profile cases of methane migration since then. It is still happening. People are still being written up for that. That's what looks like it happened in Dimmock. DEP says that Cabot oil and gas was responsible for faulty well casing, and that led to these water problems. The EPA is now involved on the federal level in taking a look at this. And
my colleague Susan Phillips, she's the other reporter on State Impact Pennsylvania, has done a lot of reporting on the research that's involved, you know, how a lot of times it comes down to the fact that there just hasn't been enough testing beforehand. And that's another thing where when you have wells being drilled now, you have a lot more baseline testing, and that way you can tell if your water well had methane problems before the gas drillers came in. And that's helping to clear up this issue a little bit.
Steve Ford, what do you, though, say to the residents of Dimmick?
No, I think, as Scott indicates, there's a historical issue with regard to methane in Pennsylvania. Geologically, there's a greater deal present of methane, particularly up in the northern tier of Pennsylvania. And this industry, in coming to Pennsylvania, has really shed new light on this issue. The Center for Rural Pennsylvania, which is associated with the state General Assembly, has conducted a number of studies on private water well quality in Pennsylvania, and determined that about 40% of the private water wells in Pennsylvania fail to meet at least one Safe Water Drinking Act regulation. And
are you saying it's not a problem?
No, I'm saying this is historically a problem in Pennsylvania, and one that by the industry coming to Pennsylvania and conducting some of these baseline tests and some of the pre-testing that we do prior to exploration and production in various parts of Pennsylvania has shed new light on. This is a historical problem that has only now recently become to greater light because of these pre-tests that are being done by industry, and that's a service, frankly, for all of Pennsylvania that I think everybody is benefiting from. Now, as a result of these recent activities,
but there are concerns for people that live in parts of Pennsylvania where there is this natural gas drilling. You've got these chemical ponds. You've got concerns about pipelines, compressor stations. Last year, the Pennsylvania Department of EPA found cited something like 65 wells for faulty cement casings. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, this is happening in people's backyards, and that's why I think for those people that are concerned, they're concerned because this is literally happening in their backyard, and they want to make sure it's done safely.
Yeah, absolutely. And the men and women who are part of Pennsylvania's natural gas industry totally can relate to that, because we live and work here as well, and the production is taking place in our backyards as well. And that is why this industry has been so proactive and worked in such a collaborative way with stakeholders on all sides of the issues and with state regulators, state legislators, in arriving at what we believe to be a very balanced approach to improving Pennsylvania's already strong environmental regulations and ensuring that it can be done in a sustainable way so this industry can operate into the future.
And
Marty,
Scott, yes, please, go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to hop in with a plug for a feature that we have on the State Impact Pennsylvania website that, if you have questions about this, it's a good place to look. We have an application that maps every single producing natural gas well in Pennsylvania. We also have the most up-to-date information we can find on what violations these wells have been cited with. So if you go to newsworks.org and click on the State Impact Pennsylvania link, you can take a look, and it shows the entire state where the violations are happening, where the wells are happening. And Steve's right, there has been a long history of methane problems in a lot of water wells, but if you look, you can tell right away that Dimmick has more violations than any other municipality in Pennsylvania. Cabot Oil and Gas had a lot of problems there when they were getting started. It was one of the first really concentrated drilling sites, and they got more violations there than any other place in Pennsylvania. And when the DEP did issue its findings on what happened in Dimmick, they said it was conclusively clear that it was tied to Cabot's drilling. Mm. Cabot disagreed with that, but you know, they ended up having a legal agreement, and that's why they were delivering water to people there through the end of the year. They met all the terms that DEP had written out for them to follow along with.
I got to jump in here, Scott, right. Because we're up in a break, and I need to say goodbye to Steve Ford. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Marty. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Vice President for Policy and Communication for the Marcellus Shale Coalition. We have another guest waiting in the wings. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In Philadelphia, everyone is reading Create Dangerously, The Immigrant Artist at Work by Edwige Danticat. Celebrating its 10th anniversary in 2012 with lead sponsor Walmart, the Free Library of Philadelphia's One Book, One Philadelphia program features 8 inspired weeks of workshops, performances, and discussions through March 17th. Details at freelibrary.org/onebook. The Free Library of Philadelphia proudly supports WHYY.
I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. A decision is a conscious choice. You make hundreds every day. One of the choices you've made is to listen to WHYY, and we thank you for that. Now consider choosing to support this service. We'd like to finish the winter membership drive, and we will when we reach the goal of raising $800,000. We can't get there without you. Your membership dollars help WHYY pay for programs from NPR, PRI, and APM. Go to WHYY.org. Thanks.
More than a third of Americans over the age of 50 are single, and that can mean entering the dating scene for the first time in 20 years, raising all sorts of confusing issues. Although dating experts say being true to what you want is key to being open and ready, that's easier said than done. I'm Dan Gottlieb, and on the next Voices in the Family, the delight and difficulties of dating after 50. Today at noon, here on WHYY-FM.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. The Pennsylvania General Assembly finalized legislation last week that will impose a fee on natural gas drillers, with revenues to be shared between counties and municipalities where the gas extraction is taking place and the rest of the state. Governor Corbett has promised that he will sign this bill. And again, Scott Detrow has been with us for this hour. He's Harrisburg reporter for State Impact Pennsylvania, and again, a collaboration between WITF, WHYY, and NPR, covering Pennsylvania's energy economy. Joining us now is Myron Arnowitt, and he's Pennsylvania State Director for Clean Water Action. And Myron, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here.
Nice to have you here. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. This is important legislation. I'm sure you've got some questions and probably some comments as well. 1-888-477-WHYY. Myron, what's your overall response to this bill?
Well, Clean Water Action's been very concerned about the language that passed in this legislation that's going to the governor's desk. And I think our single biggest problem is that the override by the state of local municipal zoning ordinances is going to be a huge step backward in protections for Pennsylvania residents.
How so? How so?
Well, the state has basically declared in this law that oil and gas operations, meaning not just drill sites, but pipelines, compressor stations, frac pits, everything, can basically be sited in literally any spot in the Commonwealth. And that's been a problem, which I think, you know, we've already seen examples of where this has been a problem, but now there's absolutely no way a local community can have any role in deciding, you know, let's keep an industry that doesn't have a great record away from some very sensitive areas, whether it's a school, whether it's an area we want to have residential development in, whether it's a commercial district. They don't have control over that anymore. And we're going to see, as this gas drilling goes forward, we're going to see huge problems all across Pennsylvania from that.
And Scott, as you have reported, this part of this bill, this provision in the bill, was supported by county commissioners, also by the Association of Township Supervisors. Just picking up on what Myron said, why were they supportive if in a sense they could lose control?
Well, it doesn't let drillers put it anywhere they want. What it does is it sets one statewide standard that all communities will have to follow. It's not like I can now put a well pad, you know, 2 feet from the school. There is still that minimum boundary. It's just standardized across the state. If you look at the Township Supervisors Association statement, very, very reluctant. The word support was never actually used. And there had been a lot of pushback from a local government, specifically in the Southwest, in the area around Pittsburgh. A lot of townships and boroughs got very active, held a lot of meetings. I went to a couple of those meetings, and they were very angry, and they said that they felt like their power was being taken away. You know, on the other hand, this is legislation that the idea of the fee is something that local governments have pushed for years. So I think in the end, these groups made a determination that, you know, getting several million dollars a year to help with local government efforts
was worth it. This was something that was going to be happening anyway, and I think they kind of felt like they had to. They didn't like the entire bill, but you know, the plus side seemed to outweigh the local zoning for at least the commissioners' associations, the township supervisors' associations. If you talk to you know, individual local officials, a lot of them feel exactly the opposite. They say it wasn't worth giving up that zoning power.
Excuse me, Myron, and going back to you, looking at let's say an individual municipality, how close would some of these drilling operations be to a residential community?
Well, as Scott mentioned, there is a standard that all local ordinances have to meet in this bill, and what it says is that a drilling site, the edge of the well pad has to be allowed as close as 300 foot to any building. So we're not even talking a lot line, we're talking any building. When you think about a school with playgrounds, you could basically have a well pad directly up against school property. You could have a frack pit, which are multi-acre open-air pits that have hazardous chemicals in them. I mean, these are industrial operations, which we're allowing throughout municipalities now.
And what, at this point, and again, it looks as if the governor's going to sign this, what kind of clout does your organization have or others who are critical of this legislation? What's your next step?
Well, I think that we are going to continue to, you know, make sure the public is aware of what has actually been done in Harrisburg. I think that there's a real lack of understanding of how severe this bill is. I just got a call this morning from a woman out here in southwest Pennsylvania who's concerned because her drinking water authority, their public drinking water authority, just sent them a letter saying there is land very close to our drinking water source, which we know we don't control the gas rights. The person who does is thinking about leasing it, and we know there's going to be a concern that this may affect the drinking water source, and we just want to let you know that our drinking water authority does not have control over this situation. I think you're going to see more and more of that, and it's something which I think as the public understands this, that's how we're going to move forward, because I think that the current system that's been set up right now is just not going to stand.
Well, I was talking with an industry representative about revealing the chemicals in fracking fluids, and it looks like there is more ability to see what that is about at Frack Focus. But now it seems like the concern is what is literally coming out, I guess, in the water out of that fracking process when the gas is pulled out of the Marcellus Shale. Do you share that concern?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's been a huge problem, especially in the western part of the state, with the wastewater that comes out of the well. It includes the chemicals that go in, but also all the contaminants that are picked up in the shale, heavy metals, other hydrocarbons. Mm-hmm. So I think that there is a lot of concern over how to manage that. We are finally starting to stop dumping this directly into the rivers. But now there are problems with other disposal members, which industry has been using. So it's really an unanswered question of how to manage this.
Scott, let me go back to you, and then we'll get to our callers. Help us understand, I guess, the amount of water that is used in this fracturing process.
Tens of thousands of gallons of water go down into the well. I mean, it's just when they're doing the actual fracking, it's just an enormous amount of water that's being, you know, flushed down to kind of draw this gas out. And Myron pointed out that recently Pennsylvania tightened up its restrictions on the amount of this water that can be treated and put back into rivers. They're cutting down on that. So a lot of this fracking fluid wastewater is being evaporated, and then, you know, the solid remnants of that are being trucked to Ohio, and that's because the geology of Ohio allows people to dispose of this by injecting it into deep underground wells, and that's where the fluid waste goes. There are a few of those in Pennsylvania, but not as many. But Ohio doesn't really want this fracking fluid waste anymore. You know, on one hand, they're pushing very hard to draw drillers from Pennsylvania to Ohio, but they're getting tired of our fracking garbage, and that has a lot to do with the fact that about a month or so ago now, you saw some earthquakes in Ohio, and state officials, scientists, said there's a direct tie between these injection wells and this earthquake activity. So their appetite for our fracking fluid waste is going down, and you know it'll be interesting to see what Pennsylvania does with this waste if Ohio injection wells aren't taking it as much anymore. Well, there's been a push to recycle it. There's been a push to kind of treat it and evaporate it, but that can't handle everything.
Let me get some callers in on the conversation. Just a couple open lines at 1-888-477-9499. We have Margarita from Downingtown joining us. And Margarita, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hello.
Hello.
My question is related to runoff into streams from both the pools or from the process and underground water. In our area where we live in southeastern Pennsylvania, we were lucky enough to qualify one of our streams as an exceptional quality, which allows the state to hold the township accountable should there be any degradation in that stream. But I know there's a lot of damage previously from mining to streams in northern Pennsylvania that have killed streams, but from the ones that are still high quality and have never been evaluated, is any of the money from the impact fees going to be allocated to try and get baselines and qualifying on some of the more pristine streams and areas so that any, you know, degradation can be mitigated?
Sure, I hear you. Let me give Myron Arnowitt, Pennsylvania State Director for Clean Water Action, to respond, and I'm sure Scott wants to weigh in as well. Myron, your thoughts?
Sure. Well, there's nothing in the impact fee specifically designated to what you're talking about. There has been a real problem that the state DEP, Department of Environmental Protection, their budget's been going down for many years now. Governor Corbett's budget again proposed another 8% cut. I think that's 5 years in a row. And while there may be a little bit more money helping out from the impact fee, I think it's a real problem that our state really hasn't aggressively, devoted the resources to exactly what you're talking about, you know, making sure we have good water monitoring, making sure we understand the baseline. That's something which, has not been a priority.
Scott, going back to you and looking at this 40% from the impact fee, some of that money going to close abandoned wells, cleaning up acid mine, drainage, watershed sewer, environmental projects. Anything you want to add to that?
When it comes to the water quality, I think one dynamic to take a look at is what's going on in the state forests. There was a lot of concern that Governor Corbett would call for additional leasing of state forest land to help fill the budget gap. That is something he did not do. But if you take a look at the land that has already been leased out, we're only drilling on something like 10%, maybe even less of that right now. So there's going to be a lot of expanded drilling in Pennsylvania state forests. And one of the historical reasons that these forests were purchased, were set up, is to kind of serve as a large filter and protection zone for major water sources, for the Susquehanna River's, you know, watershed area. A lot of drinking water ultimately comes from those state forest areas. And there's a lot of concern from environmental groups that, you know, the more drilling happens here, that opens up the chance for more spills. There was just a spill on the Tyodotten State Forest last week, and they're concerned that will start contaminating pure drinking water.
Let me get Margarita. Thanks for the call. We've got Jen now from, looks like Denham, joining us on Radio Times. Jen, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I was calling to find out, pursuant, I guess, to the state forestry, whether there will be any protection around state parks, natural preserves, state game lands, and farms. And I'll take my question off the air.
All right. Scott mentioned that. Myron, you want to weigh in on that?
Sure. Yeah, this is a real problem we have in the state, that our state parks do not necessarily always control the gas rights underneath state parks. So there's a real concern that gas drilling could happen, and it's not totally in the control of the state whether it does. Someone else somewhere has acquired those mineral rights, and if they lease them, it could result in some problems in state parks. The state tries to buy more of these rights back, but again, it's a budgetary issue.
Scott, do you want to weigh in on that as well? Because I think listeners might not understand that this notion that someone might own the mineral rights underneath a state park or underneath land.
That's right, and There's surface rights, that's, you know, the land that everybody sees, and mineral rights. And if you look at the vast majority of the state forests that Pennsylvania owns, they do control those mineral rights. But when it comes to state parks, the focus at the time was, you know, in the mid-20th century, there was a real push to expand the amount of state parks that Pennsylvania had. And it was just cheaper to buy, you know, the surface rights and not deal with the mineral rights. And, you know, we didn't know the Marcellus Shale had the natural gas potential it did until relatively recently. So I don't think the state officials making these purchases really thought that they needed to double down and get those mineral rights as well. So, you know, legally, if I own the mineral rights under a park and I want drilling to happen there, the state basically has to comply. And if you take a look at the Allegheny National Forest in the northwest, this is something that federal courts have now ruled on because it's the same deal. The federal government owns the surface rights but not the mineral rights. And for a while, they were denying drilling permits there because they were concerned about the safety. But a court ruled that, you know, look, the federal government has no say whether or not drilling happens. They have to accommodate the drillers who want to drill on this private land. So a lot of the times, it's simply out of the state's hand when it comes to this.
Myron, a final question to you about a minute before we have to say goodbye. Does your organization want to stop natural gas drilling in Pennsylvania?
Well, Clean Water Action supports having a moratorium on further drilling. I think we've seen enough problems already. And that it's clear to us that the rules we have in place aren't adequate protection. We need to stop and evaluate what is the risk before we proceed with more drilling. And to us, that is crucial work that just hasn't been done by this state yet, and which many other states, New York, Maryland, have all decided is important.
And Scott, about 30 seconds, and you had mentioned New York. It is interesting that New York has approached this differently compared to Pennsylvania.
That's right. Pennsylvania, the trend seems to be that the state plays catch-up on its regulations. We're just now overhauling all of our laws after drilling's been going on for several years. New York is trying to rewrite its laws and set standards in place before they allow drilling. So two different approaches.
Scott, as always, thank you for joining us today in Radio Times.
Anytime.
And Myron Arnowitt, thank you for joining us as well.
Sure, thank you.
You're welcome. And Myron Arnowitt, Pennsylvania State Director for Clean Water Action. And again, Scott Detrow, Harrisburg Reporter for State Impact Pennsylvania. And if you go to newsworks.org, you can check out State Impact Pennsylvania. Lots of information about Marcellus Shale and Pennsylvania's booming energy economy. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this show. Fred Snyder, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty Leswing, Dennis Devine, and Debbie Builder, with assistance from Jonathan Best. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Thank you so much for joining us for today's edition of Radio Times.